Hello and welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. I'm Juliana. Mel is out sick this week, but that doesn't mean we're going to have any less fun, because today we have two special guests representing the MistyCon convention. We have April Green and Lynn Roy. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'm very excited to talk with you both because this is a convention that comes highly, highly recommended for multiple people that I know. Everyone who went this past year seemed to have so much fun, and I just love to hear everything that you guys have to say about this convention. I think it's going to be great. But before we get started, let's get your fandom IDs. April, why don't we let you go first?
Okay. She, her, I am a Slytherin.
Ooh, nice.
My Patronus is an octopus. And I really don't know what my wand is, and I feel really bad. I have like 20 of them. I was trying to do a test right before I got here, and I was like, I'm just going to wing it.
Do you have a wand that either you own or is like a character wand that you really identify with?
I do. I have. It's from Fantastic Beasts. It's black and silver. I have it, but I'm not going to move because I don't want to make too much noise.
Oh, that's
but
okay.
It's just simple black with a little silver at the handle.
Ooh, okay. I'm trying to think of who that is, because off the top of my head, I can't remember.
I think it's Lenny Kravitz's, whoever she plays, and I cannot think of what her name is in the
Oh, is
first...
it Leta Lestrange?
Yes, yes. I have her wand.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Yes, that's a very beautiful wand, so I can see why you would pick that wand. And then, the most controversial question, what is your favorite food that is not pizza?
I feel like it's very common, but I love me a good bacon cheeseburger. I could eat a burger every day of my life.
Okay. And why don't you just tell us briefly about who you are? We'll get a lot more into this as we go into the episode, but just briefly so the listeners can get an idea of who is April.
I'm 36. No. Oh my God. No, I'm 30. I'm 38. Oh gosh.
You could have just said 36 and gone with it.
I mean, nobody would ever know.
I started into the Harry Potter fandom really weird by watching the fourth movie. I never read them. I was done with reading by that time. I watched the fourth movie and I was like, hey, this isn't that bad. Let me watch the first three. And then I said, okay, I like them. Let me read the books. And it was over after that. So I love cats.
Wow, you must really like Harry Potter, because the fourth movie is arguably the worst movie out of all of the movies.
Well, I knew nothing about it. And my friend was watching it and I was like, okay, I'll watch it with you. And I was like, oh, this isn't bad. My sisters like it. You know, it kind of came out around my age. And I was like, all right, I'll watch it.
Okay, awesome. So let's hop on over to Lynn so we can get to know you.
All right. Pronouns, he, him. House would be Slytherin, although I often cosplay Victor Krum. So Durmstrang is an alternative there, but definitely Slytherin. Patronus, I would say Thestral. And wand, I have a wand that was made for me by Carol Oster, who is, we call her the wand maker. It's really special to me because she made it for me. It has ebony wood, and I know there's bloodstone as part of the core.
Ooh, that's fancy.
And I do have an Alavan wand as well. That one was a Kingwood wand. It's really light. It's really kind of fun. Ooh. And I have the Noble Collection Severus Snape wand. I actually have two of them. One of them had a cosplay accident while attempting to use the bathroom. And it broke. It was the resin wand and it hit the tile floor and it was all over at that point.
Oh, yeah.
I glued it back together again. That's the one that actually goes to conventions. Favorite food that is not pizza. I love chicken tikka masala. I love it.
Ooh, okay.
But the one thing that I can always go back to with no problems, mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, growing up, I was a specifically SpongeBob SquarePants Kraft mac and cheese girl.
Nice.
Lynn, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of who you are as a human being?
Who am I? I am interested in all sorts of things, particularly chemistry is a big interest of mine.
Ooh.
I actually teach pharmacology, so that's a lot of fun. I also have a huge interest in history, so I am part of historical reenactment groups as well as a Renaissance festival.
Oh, nice. Okay, so now that we have a little bit of information on who you guys are, and we will learn more about you in the main discussion, we are going to head and send it on over to future Juliana and Mel in the news.
Back to the past.
Throwing back into the future, and now we're back to the present, which will technically be the past when this episode comes out.
Yeah, this is more complicated than any time turner could ever be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do-do-do news. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this week's installment of The News.
Ooh. And I'm here too. Hello.
And Mel is here. She took a break for the main portion of this episode, but she's popping back in for the news. Welcome, Mel.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, do I have to mention once more that I have been sick and we are catching up with the news and editing and everything, but...
yeah, magic.
It's all in order. So here we are, recording the news.
So listeners, what is on the news docket for today, you might ask? Well, as many of you know, LeakyCon is fast approaching. That is the first full weekend in August. And I will be there doing at least a minimum of 4 panels, possibly 5 or 6. We're kind of waiting to hear back, but look forward to me hosting a panel with Wally Hamad and James Payton, who you both know both of them from our show already. They've been guests on Popcast, and we'll be doing an improv-based panel, interview-style panel together, just the three of us. And then also look forward to our best buddy Jeff and myself doing a live recording of Into the Fold, which is my other podcast that I do with Jeff. And then I may or may not be hosting a costume showcase with the Potter Kid.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm the MC for the Potter Kid Costume Kids Showcase.
That sounds fun.
Yes. He and his mom have recruited me to be the announcer for all the kids who are going to be dressing up as their favorite fantasy characters, and we're going to be putting on like a fashion show style show for everyone.
Wow. Okay.
But look forward to that. And I also, if you find me in the wild, I will have stickers and hugs for everyone.
Is the Pizza Wizard going to be there?
He is. I printed him on the back of our stickers, and I'm also bringing him with me. So look forward to the Pizza Wizard being there. In other news, we had the debut of a new casting, I guess, of Puffs the Play, or 7 Increasingly Eventful Years of a Certain School of Magic and Magic, and it's being staged by the Otherworld Theater Company in Chicago. I'm very sad that they are closing their production before LeakyCon, because LeakyCon will be held in Chicago, but this is the first larger scale production of Puffs that has been put on since the original, that we very much know and love, and mm-hmm. You can see on Amazon for about $15 if you'd like. So far, all the reactions to the show, as we expect, have been very, very positive. They are running from June 15th to July 23rd, and proceeds from each of their tickets will be benefiting the Howard Brown Health Association, which is rooted in LGBTQ+ liberation and provides affirming healthcare and mobilizes social justice and are agents for change for individual well-being and community empowerment. So they are giving back to the community with their show, which is great. We love to see that. So if you're in Chicago and you get to go see this, let us know. We'd love to hear your review of it. And then we also had another big event that has happened in the last couple of weeks, is that the Warner Brothers Studio Tour, which is the only other studio tour that's like a full-blown permanent addition to the world, besides the one in London, has opened up in Tokyo, which is very exciting.
Yay!
And I don't know, Mel, if you got to see any of the like videos or YouTube videos or Instagram content around this opening at all?
Yeah, some of it, yes.
So I would like to ask you, before we get into the details, do you think from your viewing of the London one in person and what you've seen online, do you think that the Tokyo one would be better or the same as the London one?
Do they have the original props?
Yes, they do have original props.
Okay. Because that is always making it extra special when you know that that is really the things that you are seeing in the movies. And mm-hmm. I am sure that they have a great way and maybe a little bit of their spin on the things as well. So I would be so excited to go and see it and have like a closer look at everything to then compare it better in a way when thinking back to what London has. But we know that over there they love to build things up really huge as well and put a lot of effort into. So I'm sure that it's amazing to go there and see it.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, it kind of looks like, I think, a better version of the London one, because it looks like they have pretty much everything the London one has, but like the layout of everything seems like a little bit more like thoroughly thought through, just because they've had all those years where the London one has been operating and they can be like, oh yeah, we had this feedback as to how we can improve it, and then we're going to build a brand new version of it right here.
Mm-hmm.
The entryway looks really cool, and like the way that they did all the stuff, like some of the transitional spaces really cool. If anyone is in Tokyo, this exhibition opened up Friday, June 16th, and it is about 30,000 square meters large and packed with fantastic features and magical moments. Tickets are available for purchase now. They're about $44 for your average 18 and older person, $37 for kids 12 to 17, and $27 for kids 4 to 11, and under 4 is free. So if you're going there, the tickets seem to be about the same price as the ones we did in London. Mm-hmm. But let us know what you think. We'd love to see some pictures, too.
One last point in regards to the studio tour in Tokyo. You know, I'm a volunteer at the Protego Foundation, and I would like to throw a request at those of you that would love to help. So, thanks to the Protego Foundation, we have now vegan butterbeer available in several locations. Unfortunately, the tour in Tokyo does not provide either bottled vegan butterbeer or the option of getting a nice cup without the foam topping for those that are either allergic, need things to be dairy-free, and or are living vegan. Therefore, we have zero options to even enjoy it. It would be great if you could send the studio tour an email, or you are actually so lucky to visit the location, keep asking and requesting the vegan butterbeer option. That way, we all together can make them aware of the growing demand and make butterbeer available for every guest in the future. The link can be found as usual in our episode's information box, and I say thank you!
The last little bit of news we have is that the Harry Potter exhibition, their next stop in Europe, has been announced to be Barcelona, Spain.
Yay!
Yeah, so this is part of the European tour of the interactive and immersive exhibition, the one that just for us US people moved to New York. This one was just in Vienna, I believe, and mm-hmm. is now in Barcelona. So if you live closer to Barcelona, here's your chance to go and see that exhibition. It doesn't look like they'll be stopping these exhibitions moving around anytime soon, so you still have a chance, Mel, that it will come to, like, Helsinki or something.
You know, I was just thinking, it says that by the end of 2023, it will be in Barcelona.
Yeah.
I am actually going next month to Spain.
Oh.
Okay, but... yeah, maybe they are still coming up here, although I kind of doubt it.
I mean, it does to me, it sounds like these exhibitions are doing so well wherever they go
mm-hmm.
that I don't think they're going to stop moving them around. If they can keep making money, why would you stop? So, especially in the United States, Europe as well, too. They've only been like three or four places, I think, total in each continent. And especially in the United States, they've only been on the East Coast. So there's a whole West Coast that they need to go to and a whole other section of Europe that they need to touch. So I have a feeling that this may get closer to you. And I'm just hoping they come to Boston.
I mean, if they're going to Germany at some point, then I have many reasons to go to Germany, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would already be great. So
yeah, we'll see. But if you're in Barcelona and you end up going, let us know what you think of the exhibition. They seem to be working on improving it at each spot that they go to, from what I've gathered from my experience at the Georgia one and people's experiences at the other exhibitions that happen in the United States and in Europe. So Let us know what you think. Send us your hot takes. That is all we have for the news section of this week's news. But we do have some feedback from our listeners. And I will say, we got quite a lot of feedback from this question that I posed to people on Father's Day. I headed over to our social media with all the audacity that I have, and I asked, who do we think the best father figure for Harry is in the books, specifically in the books?
By the way, Father's Day is a different day in Europe.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
At least here. So it's sometime in November.
Yeah, but we did get some really great feedback, though. Our first little bit of feedback came from Bristlecone Wand Shop, and they said, Hagrid, in regards to being a father figure for Harry throughout his life, I would say him. I think Arthur Weasley gets neglected a lot in this conversation. Man did everything he could to provide for his family willingly, added Harry and Hermione as his own family in some sense. Plus, he had the mischievous twins, a lot of amazing father figures in this story for sure. Mm-hmm. And then we had some back and forth with Jenna, who said she agreed, and Arthur is the best father figure to Harry. Loving, patient, dedicated, and he even included Harry and Hermione on the trip to the Quidditch World Cup and the family trip. Plus, he was there for Harry's hearing. They showed up in his Triwizard Tournament and had a lot of great supportive things he did for Harry. So I think these two people kind of came to the conclusion that they think that Arthur Weasley was one of the best father figures in the books.
You know, I always thought that there is so many father figures for Harry. Mm-hmm. You probably just have to narrow it down to who is really the closest to him. Like, who is really there at any moment, all the time. And
yeah.
Some of them were robbed of being a father figure for him for longer, because unfortunately we lose some of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So just thinking about how the stories, like for example with Sirius, could have continued later on, how close of a friendship they, or connection they could have had, unfortunately we won't find out, but I think it could have been really great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at what Eric had to say on the next line, and to your point as well, three of these four people are dead at the end of the series.
Yes.
And one of them was sent to Azkaban for a long period of time, so it's kind of like, okay, who is around for Harry at any given moment to actually be a father figure to him? Like, that's our first question.
Yeah.
Are they alive? Are they dead? Are they actually physically able to be present in his life? And that's a good question.
Eric was mentioning Hagrid, Lupin, Sirius, and Dumbledore. And yeah, only Hagrid is in the end still there.
Yeah. Eric also said Harry looked up to Albus and Albus cared for Harry, even though he put him in danger, because Voldemort marked him for danger anyway. I think that that just speaks to the point that, like, each of these relationships is different.
That's true.
Which is what Harry has. And I will say that, like, each of these father figures did definitely put Harry in danger at some point in time. Like, whether they meant to, I mean, Lupin turned into a werewolf. Sirius is kind of reckless to begin with and definitely suggests a lot of things. Yeah. Dumbledore puts him in way too many, like, situations where he possibly could have died. And Hagrid is just, like, blissfully neglectful sometimes.
He just throws all the beasts at him and he's like, oh, it's fine.
It's gonna be fine. Like, we're going into the Forbidden Forest. It's fine. No one's gonna get hurt.
I think that he has the unique opportunity, though, to take different things from all of them, you know, learns mm-hmm. different things through the times from every single one of them. So they're all so unique in their characters that it's a really nice learning curve for Harry, and he takes that in consideration when going through everything to the end where he is destroying Voldemort. So he's learning and growing from that.
Yeah, well, I think our friends from the Dusty Cauldron podcast put it pretty nicely, too. They said, probably Arthur, but I think to get the perfect father, quote-unquote, we'd have to combine the efforts of Arthur, Hagrid, and Lupin. And that's kind of speaking to what we just said, where
mm-hmm.
different aspects of each, like, father figure Harry has in his life are better or worse, and maybe it's just a combination of a few people that gives him that more or less fatherly love that he's, and inspiration, I guess, that he's looking for.
Yeah.
Because no one is perfect. And none of these people here are perfect on this list in any capacity. I think that needs to be taken into account, too. And then we did have one last comment. Well, I guess we'll shout out to David. David said, Arthur, Dad, Bod Weasley. So shout out to you, David.
Oh.
But we did have one more comment from Ms. Books and Crafts. And they said, I think James was a good dad to Harry while he was alive, ignoring James' teens and assuming that he matured by then. I'm kind of in the camp, and, like, this is just my personal opinion. I'm not a James fan. Like, Lupin, I can kind of get behind Sirius sometimes. James, no.
You know why that is? Because we don't really get to know him. We only see the flashbacks of mm-hmm. him being a bully, and we see a couple pictures where he is in it with Harry on his arm when he was little, but we don't really get much from him. And from Lupin and Sirius, we at least see them as adults, and we get to know yeah. them and their flaws, of course, but we also see what they have, like, developed into, what person they are now. You can now argue about Sirius if he has really, like, had the chance to even mature
mm-hmm.
since he has been in prison for so long. And that yeah. does something to you, of course. So leaving that aside, we don't really get to know James properly.
No, we don't. And I think that that's something that fan fiction has tried to fill in for us, yeah. for sure. You know what? I could be convinced otherwise. People try to convince me that Snape is a nice person, and I say, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, but hey, happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there, or mm-hmm. who are acting on behalf of them. Or if you're just a pet father, happy yeah. Father's Day. For the US people, at least.
Happy American Father's Day.
Yes. See you in November again.
Yeah.
Hey, so what I still want to add here is that we got a new 5-star rating from Mist Potter. And it's a little bit longer, but I want to read it to you because it's so cute. So here goes. An amazing podcast! This podcast is so sweet. I love it so much, and I love listening to any good Harry Potter podcasts. I am an 11-year-old Ravenclaw myself, but some of my very bestest friends are Puffs, and I appreciate every single one of them and the kindness and love they bring to my life. I have a podcast too, A Muggle's POV, and it would be great if you too could listen to it. So thank you, Mel and Juliana, for one of the best Harry Potter podcasts I've ever listened to. Thank you so much for everything you do in this wonderful podcast. Everything from Sophie's Choice to Are You Puffing Kidding Me to all the wonderful and hilarious guests. This podcast definitely deserves a 5-star rating, and if I could, I'd give it a 10-star rating. Everything you do is so fun and wonderful. Stay puffy and badger on. This is so sweet. So if you are hearing it, I think you only have started to listen to our podcast, so you're probably not that far ahead yet, and probably not at this point of episodes yet. But if you keep listening and you have now reached it, hello to you. Thank you for listening. And I actually have listened to your podcast, and it's so wonderful to see that the young generation is continuously getting excited about Harry Potter and creating Potter content. So you guys, I think you're doing it with your sister, creating episodes and just doing things that are fun and silly, including your pets and everything, is wonderful. So continue. I really enjoyed listening to your podcast. Again, it's Muggles POV. Everyone else, go and have a listen too. I think it's very cute. And thank you so much for your rating and for your review.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I was doing when I was 11. Probably going to like book releases. Honestly.
I was a huge Backstreet Boys fan at that time. That was all I saw. So podcasts didn't even exist at that time. I'm old.
Yeah, I don't even, podcasts definitely weren't popular before. If I was 11, like probably right before the original MuggleCast started, which is like the OG of Harry Potter podcasting.
We have done this only for like 3 years, yeah. But listening to our first couple episodes, I'm also like, ugh.
No, please don't listen to episode 1. No one listened to episode 1. Don't do it. Like, skip to like episode 5 when I'm not editing. Don't do it.
We have put a disclaimer in front of these first couple episodes that please be patient with us. Our sound is terrible and we have developed into something more
refined,
general Harry Potter related, not only no Hufflepuff, but
yeah.
But that is also kind of nice. You can see the development in that and how everyone has grown into it and how much better everyone got.
Oh, yeah. But okay. Well, listeners, that is the end of the news. News. And we will send you right back into the episode with our two guests from MistyCon. So enjoy the rest of this episode. Okay, listeners, welcome back to the present time. We are now in the main discussion portion of our episode, and this week we are going to be talking with our lovely guests, Lynn and April, about the amazing convention that they put on called MistyCon. I'm just excited to talk with you guys about this convention because it seems very cool and intimate and niche and fun and wonderful. So I think where we should start is, April, you kind of gave us a little bit of foray into how you got involved with Harry Potter, but maybe Lynn, let's start out with you telling us a little bit, like, where did you even find Harry Potter? Like, why is this in your life?
I started Harry Potter, not the fourth book. I started a little bit earlier than that. So a friend of mine had started reading them and said, hey, you'd probably be interested in these. And, you know, considering I took many of her suggestions on reading and was generally pretty happy, I was like, okay, why not? So started reading the books, got super into them. And then, of course, really wanted to go to conventions and stuff. But mm-hmm. I had no money because I was a very poor college student and I could not go. I lived vicariously through the pictures from Azkatraz and Portis and all of the conventions. Then I got super involved in reading fan fiction. That was kind of our procrastination method. If you had a long paper to write, you really didn't want to write it. So you then would read Harry Potter fan fiction. Eventually, I made it to a con.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my first foray into Harry Potter cons.
Nice. So April, we got a little bit of information for you getting started into Harry Potter, but how did you find the convention space?
You tell me and we'll both know, okay? I still try to rack my brain on, like, how did I find MistyCon? MistyCon's been my only convention outside of DragonCon. I went to that once pre-COVID. Okay. But I think I just Googled like Harry Potter conventions, maybe. And I came across MistyCon, and I was going to go in 2013 because at the time it was every 2 years. And I was going to go in 2013, and I, of course, got sick and couldn't go. I was begging my doctor, like, can I go? My mom's like, you're not going out of state while you're sick. So 2015 was my first one, and I literally was going up there not knowing a single soul. Just that I knew these people liked Harry Potter, and I went and fell in love. So I still rack my brain. I think I found the Facebook group. I guess. I cannot remember when I say, how'd you find it? I don't know. Google, the internet, Facebook.
Yeah. I feel like that's how a lot of us have found like certain facets of the fandom. It's just like random happenstance luck that we kind of either fall in with someone who's like, hey, you should check this out. And you're like, I guess I'll do it. Or Facebook feeds you something, or Google is like, I think you'd like this. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I did like that. Thank you very much, Google.
I think Facebook fed me the Ascendio thing.
Yeah.
I really
That's
did.
How I found like a bunch of like other weird random things, or I'm trying to think of like a podcasting related thing. Someone posted on the page, was like, hey, do you want to do this? And like, it was just like an open call to people. I was like, great. And it turned into me like going to visit this person and like becoming great friends with them. And I'm like, that's so random. Like, we were just like random Facebook friends for because of Harry Potter. And now we're like, yeah, best buds. So I'm like, okay, circumstance and happenstance are weird, but very beneficial sometimes. We kind of have two different varying levels of convention fandom involvement, more or less, coming from both of you guys. It sounds like, April, you just found MistyCon because it was a convention that you wanted to go to. Lynn, you just kind of happened upon it because you were looking for Harry Potter conventions. What made you guys want to be part of like the organizing committee and like the actual cogs and wheels of MistyCon?
Well, I'll let Lynn go first because Lynn's been an organizer longer than I am.
Okay. I can't go to any sort of an event without volunteering. It just happens.
It's an addiction.
It is.
I hear you, my friend.
So, I mean, whether I am helping out in the kitchen for a reenactment event, or I always volunteer. So when I went to Ascendio, I had never been to a Harry Potter convention, but I'm just like, Helium Hand, yes, I will help.
Yes.
And so I was part of the volunteer group at Ascendio. I think that and the fashion show is how I ran into Clay. And Clay was one of the original organizers for MistyCon. That it kind of came out of the New York City Harry Potter group, the group that shall not be named. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of the ones who started the whole thing. And so I ran into Clay there, and he was like, hey, why don't you come to MistyCon? And I was like, cool, this sounds great. And so I made plans to go, and of course did the Helium Hand thing again and volunteered. I volunteered so much that by 2015, I had staff mistaking me as staff because I was always doing something. Then eventually they put out a call to expand the organizing team because there was a small organizing team of 3 people and then like 4 people. There was, you know, staff that would come in and help with various things. So they put out a call for applications for people who wanted to join the staff or join the organizing team. And I was like, cool, I'll put my name in. And then they're like, hey, we want you to be part of the organizing team with us. And I was like, this sounds great. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I honestly didn't. But I don't regret it at all. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's so exciting.
How similar my story was with Lynn. I went in 2015 just as an attendee, loved it. In 2017, they put out a call for volunteers, and I was like, I can do this. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing, but I was like, I'll volunteer. And it was just little things like maybe sitting in one of the panels and letting the panelists know, you know, you have so many minutes left and things like that. So I did a lot of that in 2017, and then in 2019, I did apparently a ton of it.
She did.
Yeah, I didn't realize, but it didn't feel like it was voluntary work to me. It was like, I'm just enjoying it, and all I'm doing is telling someone, hey, your time's up, or hey, can I get you this, you know, get you that. And so they reached out to me, the organizers reached out to me last year at some point. It was like, hey, would you like to be a co-organizer? I was like, absolutely, MistyCon's coming back, yes. And so I'm more of the move stuff, I'm the physical work.
Okay.
We'd be sitting on calls, and I'm like, I'm not. They asked me to organize and help, and I'm not doing anything. But I'm more like, once it's there, you need this table move, you need this drink here, you need this, that, this, and so that's kind of my role, is like bigger than a volunteer, I guess. So
yeah.
That is how I came into it.
Oh. I feel like I identify with both of you guys in that like helium hand thing where yes. if I'm part of something, I will volunteer to do things. I love that for you guys. So you guys just helped put on MistyCon 2023, but it probably feels like it's been a really long time because like you said, this was a reunion year. Let's talk about what it felt like to come back after such a decently sized break. And two, what special things you guys did for the reunion year?
It was awesome. 2013, 15, 17, and the reunion has been at the Margate, this awesome resort. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize as an attendee how much just going to the building, not even having any decorations, just being back home made. Like I walked in, like I got there 2 or 3 days earlier than anybody else. And just the plain resort, nothing special, no Harry Potter, anything. I had goosebumps. I had like yeah. almost tears in my eyes because I'm like, oh my God, I'm back. Because I try to explain to like my coworkers and stuff who've never been to conventions. And, you know, up until 15, I didn't know what conventions were like. I, you know, I've seen mm-hmm. on TV, you know, Comic-Con and stuff like that, but I didn't know what that was. But like to say you find your family, like you really do, because I think we're very lucky that we are considered a smaller convention. So mm-hmm. like you almost get to know everyone there. Just being back at the Margate, at the place before anybody even got there was just such an awesome feeling. Like I have a group of friends that I met at 15 and we have gone to each other's weddings and we've just become Aww. Best friends. And some of them couldn't come this year. And I was like, I know you guys can't be here, not all of y'all, but just being back here was so awesome. I just can't explain. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps now. Just like the yeah. feeling of how great it is to find a community that you can really love. No judgment, no nothing. Just be yourself. And also the love of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'd say that as someone else who's kind of operating in that space too, it's really awesome to see like more and more people who are finding that like this is their family, that you find that extended family that you're looking for. And that sense of like coming home, I think it's really awesome. Lynn, what was it like for you coming, I guess, coming back home again, more or less?
I basically second everything that April said.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was not just for me, but in April, but for everyone. It was the, even if there had been no decorations, nothing like that, just being able to see everybody that we hadn't seen since 2019 in person was just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like you missed people, but you didn't realize how much you missed them until you actually saw them. And then it was just, I need to give you a hug, like right now.
I imagine there was quite a lot of crying.
Yes. Yes.
Just as an emotional Hufflepuff myself, whose default setting is crying, I can imagine that there was quite a bit of crying happening.
Right. And just a lot of squealing in the yes. in the atrium when people saw somebody that they hadn't seen.
Running, jumping, hugging.
Exactly.
Because the biggest thing for me in the Harry Potter community is the community itself. Like, I absolutely am the Harry Potter community's number one biggest fan. I think we have the best community out of all the fandoms. It's so easy within the community, for the most part, to make friends and feel like these are, like, genuine connections, because they are, and feel like you found your family. A lot of us identify with Harry in being like that odd one out, that like kid who was kind of like weird or whatever, like when you were younger, and then going to Hogwarts, going to our place where we find people, going to MistyCon, and finally finding those people who accept us as who we are, and we are free to fly our freak flag wherever, and everyone's just celebrating the fact that we're different, and that's the best part of the community, is how different all of us are and how we make such a disjointed but fun and exciting and loving family together as a fandom. And it sounds like MistyCon is full of that.
It is, most definitely.
Yeah. I think we should talk about what makes MistyCon different from other conventions. Obviously, it is Harry Potter centered. It is a Harry Potter specific thing. But what sets MistyCon apart from, say, conventions like LeakyCon that's coming up in a few weeks? What's different about the con?
Well, I've only, besides MistyCon, I've only been to DragonCon, so I can only go by the difference in that. And as we keep saying, MistyCon's more, is smaller, it's more mm-hmm. Intimate, it's more getting to know, you can almost speak to everyone there, even in yeah. the past years where we had 500 people, is that about right?
Yeah, between 400 and 500.
Even that, to me, when I first came and I heard there's 500, I was like, oh, that's a lot. But then when I went to like DragonCon down in Georgia, mm-hmm. you don't get to see any. I mean, you might maybe see one of your friends, maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's like going to like any of the big Comic Cons. Right. Like if you go to like San Diego Comic Con or Boston Fan Fest, like if you see one person that you recognize over the course of 3 days, that is right. a lucky streak for you, my friend.
I think that is the biggest push for it is it's smaller. You're not just rushing from panel to panel to panel. Mm-hmm. You're not just seeing the presenter and then rushing out. You're able to stop. You're able to speak to the presenter. You're able to get to know the presenters. And most of them are past attendees or people that, you know, love doing what they do as far as in the Harry Potter world. That's my biggest thing. Because like I said, I can only go, but I've only been to Misty and Dragon Con. And I would choose Misty over it every time. Even though I love Dragon Con, it was really cool. The costumes, that was awesome. Definitely will go back again. But just the small intimacy of it. I would be able to go talk to the organizers, you know, and up until I became one, they were like these magical people. They're like, oh my God, they're putting this thing together. Like I know Lynn's laughing, but to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, there they are. You know, like they're stars in my eyes. And you know, where if you're at like the bigger conventions, you might have legit celebrities and you're going to see them for like seconds and it's going to be miles that you can see a speck of them and then they're gone, you know. And I think in the past we've had some celebrities there at the MistyCon and they were really down to earth and they're really able to like, you still got to speak to them. Yes, they were in the movies or you know, wrote books, but you could still like come up there and talk to them and stuff like that. So that for me, I think sets Misty apart from a lot more conventions. Again, I haven't been to many, but that's my opinion.
Lynn, what do you think is some of like the big factors that set MistyCon apart? What makes it so special?
Okay, so Misty is actually an acronym for Ministry Interdepartmental Training Institute. It was designed from the very beginning to be very immersive, and it was always designed to be small and by fans for fans. The programming is fan submitted for the most part. We've also always had a strong academic track. So we have professors come, we have authors, publishing experts, etc. come. So we have always had a lot of programming and a lot of varied programming. Kind of what April said, what sets it apart is how small and intimate and immersive it actually is. From the decorations, we took over the entire Margate.
Yeah, because that's something that you guys do as well, too, is like you have to stay at the Margate Hotel or wherever you guys have designated as the resort hotel, and it is fully booked out by the convention itself. So there is no one else at the convention who's not part of the convention itself at that for that specified weekend.
Outside of 2019, yes, okay. Because 2019 was in a different location. Yes, so it's small, it's intimate, it's immersive. The decorations, we take over the whole place. So there's decorations in the lobby, there's decorations in the bar area, that and various rooms had themes, I mean, etc. So just the sheer volume and variety of programming that you could have.
Yeah.
So we could have Wizard Rock, crafting sessions, seminars on the function of a rubber duck. We also have heavier topics that we could really delve into. For example, we've had panels talking about racism and anti-Semitism, diversity and somewhat lack of in Harry Potter. This year at the 10-year reunion, we had many, many talks discussing, digesting, and processing the relentless transphobia of JKR and how it has affected our happy community, our fan community. And I think that's something that a small convention can really do that a larger one might not be able to.
Yeah, because you guys can really hear what other people are saying because there's that space for everyone to have a little bit, at least a little bit of a voice, everyone to pipe up and say their part. And I definitely think that what you guys are doing with like involving that aspect of the fandom, because that's something that I know certain people have had trouble talking about, which is completely understandable, and everyone needs to take it at their own stride. But being able to facilitate those conversations about how, like, hey, this is who JKR is, this is what she said, but this is how, like, we interpret it and how we are not part of that narrative, I think is extremely, extremely important for us as a fandom to digest that together, too, and feel like you're not alone in this, too. I think it's really important to be able to hold space for that in the fandom and let the other people know, like, hey, just because the world is saying this about us doesn't mean it's true, and like the people who are actually sharing the space with you in the fandom, we are in the same boat as you. We also want to be inclusive of everyone, and I think that that's really awesome for you guys to facilitate those conversations too. So kudos to you for that.
And that's been one thing about Mysticon, is that we've always had very strong policies in place to make it a safe place for everyone. And this year in particular, we were very, very deliberate in embracing diversity, and we expanded the organizing team so that we could get more voices as part of the organizing team. We were also very deliberate in our policies to make this a safe space for our LGBTQIA plus community members, of which Mysticon has always had a lot.
Yeah, people who found their family among people who felt like freaks and who valued love and connection.
Right.
That was one good thing I found at Misty, or one thing I found, because I'm from North Carolina, small county, you know, very Bible, I forget the word right now.
Yeah.
I grew up in a bubble, you know, mom, dad, family, blah, 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 blah. And going to Misty, that was really my first time where pronouns, that was not something I knew. You know, and that really taught me. So it actually kind of opened my eyes before more people were more comfortable saying, I want to go by she, or, you know, or go by him or them, because they had buttons. And that was really my first set to, you know, first time where I'm like, okay, you know, they may look, have feminine attributes, but they want to go by he. And so that really helped me as people are more and more comfortable expressing who they are and being who they really are, to be like, I already have been around this. You know, it's not always hard for me to, you're she or he, you know, how the old generation does. And Misty was what showed me. Mysticon was a place that you could go and feel comfortable and not feel judged at all for anything. Come as you are and do not worry about it, honestly. And that was like the biggest thing that I saw very first time.
That's awesome.
Let your guard down, be comfortable. And I think that's why people have come year after year, because it's like, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Very purposeful programming, very deliberate, like I said, with the policies. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the policies for our LGBTQIA plus fans. It was also for our immune compromised fans. We had a vaccine policy and a masking in the seminar rooms policy, because that's part of us being inclusive, is like, we wanted to be able to bring as many people together as wanted to come. We have a lot of fans who are immune compromised. Not having a policy like that excluded them. We did not want to do that. And we know that there was some pushback on that, but it's just like, no. If we're all gathering, we're all gathering, was our thought behind it.
As someone who has like one of these immunocompromised conditions, it literally just like warmed my heart to hear you say that, because I'm like, us invisible illness people, we get thrown in the trash a lot of times because people are like, I can't see it, just because you can see it and you can't see what I'm dealing with. I very, very, very much so appreciate that aspect of what you guys are doing on top of everything else that you're doing, because that is definitely a very unrecognized partition of like just human beings that goes completely ignored. Thank you for doing that, for sure. So we've kind of talked about what LeakyCon is, all the amazing things that you guys do. And I think I'd like to hear what special things you guys did this year for the 10-year anniversary. Were there any like really special? I know we talked about you guys did the throwback fashion show. I did see that there was a fabulous drag queen that was a part of this. There was some Wizard Rock. Besides those things, like what exciting things did you guys have planned for 10 years? Because that's a big anniversary.
The theme goal this year was a little bit more laid back. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen you in a couple of years. How are you doing? We definitely pushed for other things that, like, I'll talk about at some point. The TLC Foundation.
Yes.
It was a reunion. That's literally what it was. It wasn't as fast-paced as it has been in the past. It wasn't as, you know, programming was cut back a little bit, which was actually very much appreciated. Because even in a small convention, you don't realize how many great presenters there are and how many great presenters are all presenting at 10 o'clock. on a Friday or something like that. So it was much more laid back, much more, we're just going to chill. We're just going to enjoy ourselves. We're just going to make sure we get to see the people that we haven't seen in years.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that.
A lot of it was a lot of paying homage to things that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'd mentioned previously the decorations were always over the top. But for this year, because it was a reunion, we kind of pulled back on some of that. Mm. But we had things like, you know, the big house counter that went out. We've always had tons of posters up around and various and sundry other decorations. So we pulled out a lot of the old ones. Aww. Like recreated some of these posters, made some of them look old, like they'd been hanging in the Margate for, you know, since 2013. And that was a lot of fun. A lot of the Wizard Rock posters that we'd made in the past. So bands that had played in the past but weren't coming this year, but you could still remember that, oh yeah, the Blibbering Humdingers. Yeah, I remember when they were here. Or various and sundry other bands as well. I mean, we had a lot of bands that have been through in the past. And like you said, the opening show, one of the things with MystiCon is we've always had a lot of really creative people involved with MystiCon. So there's always been some really fun opening shows, closing shows, and then evening programming. So the Merleys was one of the evening programming. We had lip sync battles.
Yes.
We did the Hogwarts squares instead of Hollywood squares,
various fun.
Jeopardy games. So we've always had all of this fun programming. So we did take this year to pull back because, like April said, it was a reunion. It was supposed to be more relaxed, spending time with your friends, but we kind of wanted to have that little homage to things that we'd had. So in the opening show, which that's where you got to see the drag queen.
Yes, loved it.
That was so much fun. She was playing, I don't know if you're going to bleep me out on this, but Umbridge.
She'll probably have to bleep you out, but that's okay.
Probably. She was the MC and our closing kind of act in the lip sync showcase, because we didn't actually do a battle. That was it. Was like a lot of these things was just like a showcase of things that we'd done, not the whole program. But we had a lot of fun with that. One of the things that I liked, and this is kind of because it was kind of personal to me because I spent a lot of time on it, was the program. We went back to a paper program this year instead of a digital program, which we'd done in 2019. But because it was a reunion, we made it look like a yearbook.
Oh, that's so nice.
So sourced lots of photos from past years. You had different spreads. You had the decor spread so you could remember, oh yeah, remember the fountain that was set up in the front. It's like, yeah, we've got that. Or the Dementor and the archway from the Hall of Mysteries. Then like another spread would be like all the special events. And then there was the rock and parties page. And then instead of the class photos, it was the professional photos that selected from professional photos from 2013, 2015, 2017, 2019 of people in their cosplays. And then, of course, space at the back for people to get signatures. And it was so much fun watching everybody carrying around those programs and asking people, will you sign my yearbook?
That's so sweet. Oh, I love that. It's a celebration. I was going to say a convention again, but it's a celebration. It's not a convention. It's a celebration of the fandom, of what makes the fandom awesome and what you guys have found in the fandom over the years and just celebrating all of that. And I think it's just chef's kiss. Absolutely wonderful. I love it so much. I did have one question, though, about one of the programs that you did. Whose idea was it to do a, like, multiple sessions long reading of My Immortal?
That was April O'Neil, and she was brilliant. I don't think she can top that.
And really how long did this go on for? Because I didn't get the official end time for who could read it. Because it was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was who could read it the longest with a straight face without breaking, correct?
Yeah. I think that's how it started. I'm not sure how it ended.
Okay.
It started Saturday night, and they didn't get all the way through it. And so then it got scheduled to be finished after the ball.
That's right.
On Sunday. And yeah, there were many pictures of people in tears or like on the ground. They were laughing so hard or like bent over holding their head in their hands because they were just, I mean, it broke them.
I mean, My Immortal can break you on a good day.
Oh, and it wasn't just the story. It was also reading the author notes. So the whole fight thing that happened in the author notes, yeah, that was fabulous.
You're not reading My Immortal unless you're reading the author notes along with it too, because that's like half the fun. And wondering who these people are and what the dynamic is of this relationship that we are kind of privy to for some weird reason. But I guess to round it out, I would love to hear maybe like a favorite moment or two you guys had from this year's convention, something that just either like warmed your heart or sticks out to you or made you laugh until you almost peed your pants. You want to tell us about that?
I know one of the questions was what was the most challenging about putting on Misty this year? And I think since JKR has pretty much just, I don't know, I don't even know what to say about her. But like, I think that was one of the things when we started talking about doing it again, there were some people, like, there were people that were like, I'm just done. I'm done with, mm-hmm. with her. I'm done with Harry Potter. I'm done with anything and everything to do with her. And so that was why this year we chose TLC, which is this Transgender Law Center. Mm-hmm. We made sure our programming was included.
Aware, more or less?
Yes, aware. We wanted to make sure that everyone realized, like, we are doing Misty because we love Harry Potter. We love what Harry Potter has done for us as far as finding our friends, our family. Just by saying, yeah. like, here is our goal. Like, here is, what, like, our money and extra money is going to the TLC Law Center, which I'm not sure if anyone knows kind of what it all is. Stace, one of our organizers, wrote this up for me. So thank you, Stace. TLC is involved with many projects from the local community level to the federal level. They are a trans-led organization whose mission is to change law, policy, and attitudes so that all people can live safely, authentically, and free from discrimination regardless of their gender identity or expression.
So, hello, Editing Mel here. I am giving you a quick note. Juliana's microphone has been messed up, and I will try to give you her voice, just my voice. Is this confusing? Okay, I will try my best to let you know what she said throughout the conversation.
This year, that was our GoFund campaign, and we set a goal of 3,000. We exceeded it. We kept it open, so I think our last count, which was been about a week or two ago, was we reached $3,866. So we did a stretch goal of 4,000. The campaign's still going, so if anyone wants to give to the TLC, that's a great law center.
We will share that link in the episode show notes for the listeners, so if you would like to donate, you know where to find it.
And so, like, for MistyCon was a place and time secluded from the rest of the world where we could be our authentic selves without fear, with the expression of the authenticity of we celebrate it. So that was one thing that we really did push for this year, to say we're coming together for our family and friends. And I think though there were some that were like, we're done. Like, some of the people that came said, you know, I wasn't going to come. But like, you guys made it a point and you made us feel like they were glad to come to see that they're still... It's still a great fandom.
And I think just to tag on to what April said, one thing that really stuck with me was somebody that came up to us after the ball and said, you know, thank you for doing this. You made me realize that it's okay to still like Harry Potter, because they were ready to, you know, throw everything away, all the stuff that they gathered throughout the years, and just have nothing to do with it, that it's okay to be me and it's still okay to like Harry Potter. And that kind of stuck with me.
This sends such a great message. Not only am I so, so happy that this person got to have this moment with you guys, but I think that's something that we all need to keep in mind. Because for the majority of the people listening to this show, and I'm sure that people that went to MistyCon, Harry Potter is integrated into your life in some capacity, where if it was not there, a portion of who you are as a human being would be significantly different. And to be told all of a sudden by the greater society and partially by the author that that part of yourself isn't valid is a really hard thing to mentally deal with and digest. So just being able to know that you are not the only one feeling that way, and knowing that it's not the fandom that is invalid. Actually, in reality, I feel like the fandom has kind of glued itself together a little bit more. And there are people here that know exactly what you're talking about and want to validate you as a human and validate your experience and the fact that you love Harry Potter, and that is okay. So I love that.
Just one thing about that, it goes directly to the Transgender Law Center. MistyCon does not see this money at all. It goes directly to them.
And are there any other favorite moments left that you would still like to share with us?
I also greatly liked the closing brunch, where we allowed an open mic so people could come up and say their favorite memory of any MystiCon. It was great to hear other people's stories as well about what made Misty special for them.
Who is the person who's in charge of the MystiCon on the whole?
It's a team.
I think it's all of us kind of together. It's a team. Yeah, it really is.
Are there a lot of Hufflepuffs? Because this is like the huge Hufflepuff vibes right here. Like sharing feelings, feeling emotions, being sentimental, being emotional. Like I'm just getting big Hufflepuff vibes from all of this.
Ironically, there's a ton of Slytherins.
Interesting. But I guess my final question for you guys is there going to be another MystiCon that people can look forward to? Or are we just going to have to stay tuned for more?
It's more you're going to have to stay tuned for more. There's no definitive plans for another MystiCon, but we're going to keep watching and seeing what people want. And we never say never, but there are no definitive plans at the moment.
Okay. I will put in my vote for it happening again, because I would like to come to one of these, hopefully in like a year or two, whenever you guys decide you want to do it. So count me in. I'd like to come. Happy to do paneling. Happy to be like the helium-handed person who's doing like everything. It's kind of my shtick. Okay. So thank you guys for joining me for this conversation today. And what we'll do next is normally we would play a game here, but Mel is not here, so we'll kind of just like move on. But if you want, I can find a dumb joke to tell and I can tell you guys a dumb joke. Or I can try one of my old dumb jokes on you.
I'm always up for a dumb joke.
Okay. I think I have two good ones. I'll give you a classic, which all the listeners know the answer to this one, but I think I'd like to see what your reactions are. And then I'll do a different one. So my first one, and this is the classic Puffcast joke. What do you call a great wizard made of bread? Crumbledore!
I like that.
Nice.
That is the dumbest joke I've ever learned in my life, and I carry it with me in my back pocket. Okay, I have a calendar of dumb jokes over here. Let me look really close if I can see if I have one. Okay, ready? This one's just like kind of like a statement. I'm terrified of elevators, and I'm going to start taking steps to try to avoid them. The other day, I went to try and catch the fog, but I missed.
Nice.
I like that.
But okay, so I think to round this out, if you guys want to tell us, one, I guess where we can find any information on MystiCon, and two, if you guys have any kind of social media presence or touch points that you'd like people to know about, if they want to get in contact with you, that would be great.
You can find our website. It's www.misty-con.com, and we're also on Facebook. We have our event page, and we have our group page as well. We're also on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, and I believe that Facebook page is where I've seen many of the fabulous videos that have been taken.
Yes.
If you'd like to see some of the action that happened this past year, you can get kind of a preview and a sneak peek into some of the fun things that you guys were up to on the Facebook page. Okay, well, it was so wonderful having you both.
It was great being here.
Yes, it was fun. My very first podcast.
Wow. Well, I hope this was a fun and enjoyable time.
And if you would like to find us, you can listen to us on all platforms podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffCastPod and Facebook at Facebook.com/PuffCast.
And send us a long form email. If you have any thoughts, feelings, emotions, wishes for MystiCon, you can send them to us at puffcastpod@gmail.com and we will forward them over to our lovely friends here. You can also support us over on Patreon for as little as $2 a month, and we do donate every month to a charity of choice for our patrons. You can also get a Puffcast shirt. You can show off your swag. Bonfire.com and search Puffcast. We are the only thing that comes up when you do that, and it's easier than reading off the URL. So that is another one wonderful thing you can do. And if you'd like to do us a solid, you can go and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you leave us a fun, fantastic, fabulous review, we will read it here. But until next time,
stay puffy
and badger on.
Yes, awesome. You guys did so good. That was great.
Thank you.
Thanks. It was fun.